Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Wrecked, the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending and reviewing some of their favorite pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I am, of course, your host and resident silly boy Thor, joined today, as always, by my friend and co-host. You may say that he's a dreamer. Well, he's not the only one. It's Micah.
That's so weird at how apt that is for this episode. That's fun. That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. How's it going, man?
Oh, it's good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Can I tell you a fun story?
I would love a fun story.
Oh, I don't know how fun it is, but it was funny to me. So I'm driving here on the way here, and I'm behind a car, and they have a vanity plate.
Okay.
And the vanity plate just said, "Shy Mom."
Interesting.
And I'm like, is that your OnlyFans name? Like, that feels like it should be an OnlyFans model or something, like Shy Mom 32.
100% does.
And I'm the sexy MILF of your dreams.
It 100% does.
Yeah. And it's just like a, you know, it's just a, like a mom with, like, you know, like a little bit heavy, and she's got, you know, like cancer freckles on the tits, you know, but she's just trying to make some extra cash.
Sure. Did you like pull up the car at the red light next to her and like wave at her?
No, I was behind her.
Oh man, that's what you should have done. You should have, I mean, just to see how shy she was.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people do that. I wonder how many people like honk and wave at her.
Probably
no.
Most people probably see it and don't think anything of it.
I think that's what makes you and I a little bit different, Thor. I'm going to be honest.
It's also like I sent you that picture the other day of it was a like a magnet somebody had on their car, or a bumper sticker, and it was like proud of my grand dogs, or
yes,
something like that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a picture of a, I think it was on the back of somebody's car.
Yeah, yeah, it was definitely somebody's car. But I'm gonna pull it up.
You're like, is this not the saddest bumper sticker you've ever seen, or something like that?
Oh yeah, here it is. Oh yeah, it was like the shape of a bone, and it said, "I love my grand dogs."
That's, there you go.
Which is the set. There's so many levels to that of like, okay, so this person has kids. They really wanted to have grandkids.
They really did.
And they never did. So instead, they got dogs. They got grand dogs.
Yeah.
And now they have to act like it's the same thing and that they're happy about it.
Yeah. Do you think it'd be sadder if they had
a
thing?
I love Biscuit and Petunia. It's definitely better than an actual grandchild.
Do you think it'd be sadder if it was grand kittens? What if it was something like that? Do you think that'd be like, or my grandcats?
It always is.
Well, okay, so interesting thing.
Because then your kid, like, not only did they not give you a grandchild, they're not even responsible enough to be able to take care of a dog.
Because they're pawning them off on the grandparent?
Well, no, if it's cats instead of dogs.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, cats are much easier. 100%.
Yeah, and I'm not a cat person or a dog person. Love both equally, but cats are 100%. Like, if you're somebody who's like, I only have cats.
I generally say that I'm a cat person only because I'm a lazy pet owner.
Yeah.
Like, for that exact reason.
Exactly.
You know, I don't really have a preference between the two. The loyalty of a dog is fantastic. But a cat is just so much easier. Unless it's our cat. Our cat's the worst.
Well, he can barely walk up the steps. He's like 300 pounds.
He is pretty hefty. He's pretty hefty. By the way, anybody who's listening, we are looking to get rid of a cat named Boo. He's super friendly. He loves everybody. And he does not have an attitude problem at all. He's in great shape, doesn't have a heart condition. And we're looking to find him a nice home. It's not him, it's us. That's it. That's it. Thor, I have a confession to make.
Okay.
A family member of yours has been sending me messages.
Okay, who?
A Natalie.
Okay, yeah, that's my niece.
Yep. So I got a a friend request from Natalie.
Yep, yeah, and go on. I know where this is going, so go on.
Yeah, so I did send you a screenshot of the fact that she sent me a Facebook friend request. And I was like, is this somebody you know? Because looks like they're a common mutual acquaintance between, you know. And you're like, yeah, that's my niece. She got hacked. She's going to try and sell you crypto now. So I was like, well, in that case, I'm definitely accepting the friend request. 100%. I've got to.
I assumed, yeah.
Yeah. And so I initiated the conversation to see where this would go. And I just went, hey, they responded at the end of the day. They said, hello, Henderson, which I thought was clever of them. And I said, I heard you're getting into crypto. I'm really trying to get them like into it. And she just replied, yes. And that's it. And then so the next day, I'm like, how's that going? You making any progress? Because I'm like, I want to have a conversation about this.
Yeah.
And she goes, I made lots of profit with the crypto platform I work with and have also helped countless people on how to go about it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen all the people. I'm still friends.
Yeah.
I'm still friends. So I've seen all the people every day. It's like, hey, here's a new family. They just bought a brand new boat.
Yeah.
Or they just bought a brand new Jeep, a fully loaded Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Yeah.
With all the money I helped them make off crypto. Congratulations,
sure.
Jason and
so-and-so.
Michelle or whoever the person is. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I actually thought that your niece may have gotten her account back because of how much she wasn't responding to me.
Okay.
And she just thought that I was some weirdo. Because usually these scam artists are like, they dive right in, right?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, things are great. By the way, but they were doing pretty good. They had me questioning it because it was like a whole day before they would respond to me at all. And so it made me question, like, maybe I'm being too assertive about
this.
They were
too busy working, getting people new cars from all the money they're making them with crypto.
I guess. Yeah. So I was like, well, how long have you been into this whole crypto thing? And she just said, for months now. And then I was like, well, I'm going to stop because this is getting weird to me. I legitimately started, like, feeling weird about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
like, thought you might actually be talking to the person. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. So then I waited a couple days. Well, actually, I didn't wait. I was just done with the conversation. A couple days later, she sends me another messenger that says, hello, Henderson. And I just replied this time, hi. Like, just leaving it at that. Hi. Done. All right. If you're interested, I'll gladly enlighten you with the process. And then I was like, oh,
you're back in. Yeah, you're
I'm back in now. Yeah. So I said, give me the deets, kiddo. And then it continued to go on. But I just wanted to let you know that I, for a second, actually felt really uncomfortable.
For a minute, you thought you were messaging with my 21-year-old niece.
Yes.
Yeah.
First, I was like, oh, I'm going to stop. Now, in total contrast to that, I also got a friend request from Elon Musk.
Oh, nice. What's Elon up to?
Oh, well, he's giving out cars left and right.
Of course. Yeah.
So it was actually a little bit confusing because, you know, he's got a lot going on and I don't really feel like I should be on his radar at all. So for him to send me a friend request.
Well, he listens to the show.
That's true. He does listen to the show.
Elon, if you're listening, we know that you are.
We know that you are. Yeah, so
we're still waiting on that free car.
I am still waiting. Yeah. So I was like, actual Elon Musk? That's what I sent him. And he just replied, yes. I said, how's X going? You can see a common trend with me and these scammers.
Yeah.
And he said, fine. But then immediately said, congratulations. I'm going to read this to you verbatim. We are happy to inform you that you won a brand new Tesla Model 3 and the sum of $50,000, end parentheses. I didn't give a begin parentheses, because there was none. And then he says, in the Tesla giveaway, kindly get back with accept, let's proceed. So I said accept with an exclamation point. He says, we will need to confirm some information and I'll advise you to follow the instructions before we can deliver your winnings to you in your home. As soon as all the information, M, is required, you are duly filed. The winnings will be delivered cash, you within 24 hours. Are you ready to fill it?
Nice.
Yeah. And I said, I actually have a question first. And they said, what's the question? I said, how's this going to affect my taxes? Because you know me, Thor, I'm not really into that.
Yeah, you're very litigious about your taxes.
I 100%. I do my own taxes so that I can get my maximum return every year.
Yeah. It's like, if you just give me a free car and 50 grand, you're going to mess up my whole system.
Exactly, right? So I was like, how is this going to affect my taxes? Because I'm not trying to have Uncle Sam come after me. And he just replied, you're not going to have to pay taxes. And I was like, oh, why not? Isn't that how it works? And then he responded, yes. I was like, yes, that's how it works. I mean, if that's the case, how much tax do I need to pay? $200 tax. That's what he said.
That's pretty good.
That's what I thought, too. Pretty good. Right? Like, because he's given me 50 grand and a Tesla Model 3.
They're always talking about how little the 1% pays in taxes.
Right? Am I the 1% now?
Yeah, I guess so. After you get 50 grand in Tesla.
Yeah. And I was like, Elon, what are you doing up so late? Because he sent me this at 1:33 in the morning. And I guess running X and, I don't know, Tesla, he's got a lot going on. Yeah. I said, also, you said that I wouldn't pay. Now it's $200. Which is it? Because I was just looking for some clarification. And then he got real with me. He said, get $200 Apple card for the activation of your Tesla car. Shipping is free. So I guess they're going to mail the car to me?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds...
Okay. So I said, Elon, what are you talking about? Apple card? You own Tesla, not Apple. And he said, yes, I own a Tesla. And then he sent me a picture of my car. Four of them, actually. And it looks really nice. So I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. He did try to call me through Messenger, but I was too busy at that point.
Oh, what a shame.
I know. Yeah. So, Elon, if you could just get back to me, man. I'm sorry. I've had a lot going on. I've been redoing a bathroom for the last week or so.
We definitely want this Tesla. We'll wrap it in the Get Wrecked logo.
Absolutely, we will. Yeah. It'll be Tesla, sponsored by Get Wrecked.
Exactly, yes.
Maybe that's a dream scenario for us, I guess. Speaking of dream scenarios... We should probably talk about this Nick Cage movie, huh?
Yeah, as well, while we're waiting for this car and 50 grand to come in.
Imagine what 50 grand would do for this podcast. Man. Tesla, why don't you get... You know what, Elon Musk, why don't you do it? I've heard you're doing like $45 million a month for Trump now. So, what's 50 grand?
Yeah.
What's 50 grand? All right, let's...
We got 50 grand, I would hire an avatar to come in and... podcast for me.
Would you like purposely pick somebody who has the exact opposite voice of you?
Yeah,
like an Asian man from China specifically with a very gruff voice, but speaks probably. Very yeah. like broken English,
and yeah. probably and somebody who's like very knowledgeable and focused on when they speak and just really just right down to the point, doesn't really get sidetracked.
Oh yeah. Just, you know, if we're doing 50 grand, I could probably do that too. You know,
we'll just be like every other company in this country, and we'll outsource all the work to China.
That sounds like a great idea. Yeah. I'll make sure that my avatar,
and then just reap all the benefits.
Yeah. My avatar is going to be a woman though. So it'll be a woman.
Yeah. We got to diversify.
Yeah. Good call. Good call. All right.
Dream scenario. Hey, folks. Make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Wrecked Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care. We'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD@gmail.com. Now, back to the show. Alrighty, folks, so today we are discussing Dream Scenario, a black comedy film released in 2023 by one of the favorite production companies of this show,
A24,
directed by Norwegian filmmaker Christopher Borgli, I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce that, B-O-R-G-L-I, and Christopher is spelled with K-R-I-S-T-O-F-F-E-R, so get fucked, Christopher. interestingly, I didn't know this until before the show. I was looking it up. This was actually produced by Ari Aster, who did Hereditary that we watched on the show.
Okay.
And a guy named Lars Knudsen. And it was produced under their company, Square Peg.
Now, R.E. Aster, was he the director of Hereditary?
I believe he wrote and directed it.
Okay.
As well as the film Midsommar, which will probably be on here at some point.
That's Florence Pugh, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't she in that?
And it's very similar to Hereditary, but a little bit not as like Satan, like satanic in nature, as far as like, it's definitely kind of like a slow thriller type horror film.
Okay.
But and very kind of like methodical and dialogue driven the way Hereditary was. But certainly it's dealing with more like pagan worship as opposed to directly satanic stuff.
Cool.
It's pretty interesting, though. in any case, the film stars Nicolas Cage as a kind of like a boring dork. He's a professor of some kind of evolutionary biology or something at a college. And this weird phenomenon starts where people all over the world just start dreaming about him. And in the dreams, he's just kind of standing there for the most part, almost like a voyeur. Just weird things are happening and he's just standing there. And he kind of becomes a celebrity.
In a weird way, right?
Yeah, because he becomes a celebrity because everybody knows this guy, Paul, who's all of a sudden in people's dreams. Nobody knows why. And he gets this weird bit of fame. But then the dreams start to take a turn and they become nightmares. And people start having these dreams where he is violently attacking them and sexually assaulting them. And just people are becoming traumatized by these recurring dreams of this person who they know is a real person in the world. And they have no idea why they're dreaming about him. So at that point, he kind of gets canceled.
For no reason at all.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And his whole life kind of falls apart. And that's pretty much the film. So with that, we'll get into specifics. As always, spoiler alert ahead. This is a pretty new film, so there's probably a lot of people who haven't seen it. We are going to be discussing like plot points and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So with that, Micah, what are your thoughts on Dream Scenario? How you feeling about this?
You know, I don't know. Thor, I don't know at all. This was a very interesting movie for me to watch. I don't really like the term interesting because I feel like that's just a vague cop-out of a descriptor.
Yeah.
But I was not sure where this movie was going for about the entire movie. And then when the movie ended, I was thinking, I really feel bad for this guy. It was intriguing to watch because I was very curious as to where the movie was headed.
Yeah.
And it really made me think how society would act if this actually happened. Because, to be honest, I think that this is fairly true to form as far as, like, nobody wanting to be around him for no reason other than they had very vivid, bad dreams about him.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And I kind of felt bad for him through the movie because when everything really goes sour, he's just sitting in a diner with a hat on and his collar up with a coat trying to enjoy a book.
Yeah.
And people just come over to him and they're like, hey, you need to leave.
Nobody wants you here. Yeah. The guy spits on his food.
Spits on his drink. Yeah, spits on his food. And he's a college professor and nobody shows up to his class because all the students are uncomfortable with him being in there. And it's such a wild thing because dreams can be super real. Like, Ashley was really upset with me because she had a really bad dream about me once.
Yeah.
And she, to her credit, was like, I know it's a dream. I know it wasn't real. But I'm kind of upset right now. And I mean, like, she got over it as the day went on. But it's weird how dreams can affect your daily life.
For sure.
It's kind of a wild thing. So I don't know if I land on the fence yet of if I like it or not. I think I might make a decision as we're talking about it.
Okay, I get that. And can I tell you, it's actually kind of funny too, because so I got a text this morning, and our most faithful listener, Michelle.
Oh yeah, I love Michelle.
Michelle, if you're listening, and we know that you are, for sure.
We know that you are.
Sometimes Elon, he'll pop in, he'll pop out. He doesn't catch every episode.
Right.
He hates a lot of my music recommendations.
He really
what
does.
What can you do?
He's told me.
But in any case, so she texted me this morning and she said, hey, I want to go on record before the episode comes out. I'm not sure how I feel about Dream Scenario, which I thought is funny because you said that's basically exactly what you said, where it's like, I don't know how I feel. And I'm kind of there too. I've seen it twice now.
Okay.
And I think it's a really, like you said, interesting is kind of like a bit of a cop-out word, but I think that is like a great descriptor for this. And I'm pretty sure when I gave it to you, that's what I said too, is like, I don't know if I like that. I don't particularly love this movie.
Yeah.
It's certainly not one of my favorites, but I do think it's a really neat concept that they're exploring. It's something it's a new idea. It's a fresh idea that everybody just starts dreaming about one person. And he's not doing anything. He's not manipulating the situation. He just happens to be the guy. He, you know, accidentally figured out how to astral project into other people's dreams.
Is that what it is? Did he accidentally figure out how to do it? Because for me,
it seems like it.
For me, one of the things that
I think it's intentionally left vague to let you draw those conclusions for yourself. Because his whole, like, a big plot line of the story is that when he was a young man, and basically throughout his career, he's been studying this concept of, like, group consciousness.
Yeah.
Specifically in, like, insects and stuff. And that's one of the plot lines, is one of the, this girl he went to college with when he was young kind of took that idea and used this concept called antelligence.
Sure.
Essentially that, like, the ants are kind of participating in this groupthink of some sort.
Right.
Which is also obviously kind of a metaphor. They're, not only is it a metaphor of, like, okay, everybody's dreaming about him, but this concept of groupthink that all of a sudden now everybody doesn't like him.
Oh, yeah.
So there's kind of like a little bit layered there. So I think it's intentionally left vague, where it's like, did this guy, because he's constantly thinking about shared intelligence and consciousness, did he actually unlock it unintentionally?
How to do
it? Or is it fully just a coincidence?
Yeah.
Because towards the end of the film, you get the people who, like, they build this... They build this...
the worst product idea
in
the
this
world.
Product where people can come advertise to you in your dreams. And they do it from research based on the phenomenon of Paul, whatever his last name
Paul Matthews. I might actually murder people if anybody shows up in my dreams to sell me a shoe. I'll be furious with them. I'm just saying.
What's she look like?
Who?
The person showing up in my dreams. Then I'll let you know how I feel.
Okay. Yeah, so I did like the character that Paul played, because he is a very milquetoast kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he really doesn't want any fame, but then he's like, well...
But he also does.
Yeah, though. He's like, but if I could use this to, like...
He wants fame, but he also wants to control it.
Yeah.
He wants to control how he's perceived by people.
Well, and he wants to be known for his research.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he looks at being a professor as a negative, or like he hasn't achieved as much as maybe he wanted to. But he's definitely aspiring to do more.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's part of the crux of what the whole plotline is with his old college buddy getting published. I think that he calls her up specifically for, like, you didn't even mention me in all this, and you weren't even interested in this stuff in the conversation that they have together. But he's so, he is such a, I don't think he is a very assertive guy. And I feel like this is the tale of a guy who is sitting in the back seat of his entire life, and then all of a sudden gets put in the driver's seat and doesn't know how to handle it.
That's perfect. Exactly. He is Walter White. before the cancer.
Sure.
Like, that's a big part of, he's definitely Walter White before the cancer.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly perfect, because so much of the story revolves around, I think, like, he wanted to be this great, like, he's always talking about his book, and they're like, oh, well, how far are you on the book? He's like, well, I haven't really started writing it
yet. Yeah.
And he's all pissed that this lady took his idea, you know, quote unquote, his idea.
Right.
That he's never done anything with. And he's like, I've dedicated my life to this and I'm writing a book about it. But he's never started it.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of like this classic, I was gonna character.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I just hadn't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah. And so he's kind of like bitter and angry towards everybody.
You know,
for his own, he's really angry at himself and he takes it out on everybody else.
It really reminds me of my daughter.
Okay.
Right? Like, she's 5 at this point and she's an only child. So at home, she really doesn't have to share because everything is hers.
Yeah.
And then when she goes out with friends or when we go to a library and there are other kids around, I've got to be like, hey, you know, you got to share. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frey gives me the whole, like, well, I wanted to play with that, but I wasn't playing with it, but I could have.
Yeah.
I could have been playing with that toy.
I was going to play with it.
I was going to play with it. That's the vibes that this guy gives me. Like,
yeah,
I was,
for sure.
I was going to write my whole book. I was going to get published, but I just didn't get around to it.
Yeah, I think Paul is an interesting character. He's very nuanced, actually. I think incredibly nuanced, especially for what people tend to like associate with like a Nicolas Cage character. Not always the most like dimensional characters, oftentimes pretty.
Yeah.
But it's very like, you know, he feels like a real person.
He does.
And,
yeah.
And he feels like, once again, everything is kind of about, he wants people to see him in a certain way.
Well, and he's also not a negative person. Like, he genuinely seems like a nice person.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Which is part of why I felt bad for him through
this whole thing. Yeah, he's definitely a sympathetic character, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely a sympathetic character.
Yeah, because he's not, he wants to be a good dad.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be a good teacher.
Yeah.
He wants to be a researcher. He is obviously very knowledgeable on this stuff.
Sure.
And he just kind of wants to be loved. He never gets invited to his friends, like the famous dinner parties with all the interesting people. He wants to be an interesting person. And he's just not. And so he is incredibly sympathetic because you're like, he's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, he is nice. Him not getting invited to those things, though, and still act like, it made me want to walk up to him and slap him in the face.
He is also kind of a dick, too.
And yeah, and just be like, dude, find new friends.
Yeah.
All right? Like, these people obviously don't care about you. Just, like, get over it. And I don't know. Because
well, yeah, but that's the cool guy. You know what I mean? That's the cool guy who hangs out with all the famous scientists
They're
and philosophers.
The people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I just don't.
The popular dorks. He wants.
I guess I've just never been the type of person that's like, I don't know, pining for acceptance.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And so for me, I see that and I'm just like, dude, you just gotta just not. You just gotta, you know, I don't know, get over it and find some people who actually like you. You know, that's life.
Yes.
You're in your 50s. Get the, like, reach that conclusion earlier, please.
Yeah. I also find interesting with this character, there's a scene when it's kind of at the beginning where he's finding out people are dreaming about him and he sees an ex-girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
who he obviously gets kind of like taken. It's been like 30 years since he's seen her. And she's like, I had a dream about you. And he's like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
And then that night, he's talking to his wife and she's like, you seemed pretty excited to see her.
His wife was.
Well, she was. And he plays it. And like, he does this thing where he's like, what? Do you think I'm having an affair? Do you think I'm that cool that I could have an affair?
That's true. He does say that. Yeah.
And he kind of plays it off like, oh, you're being an asshole. Like, I definitely wasn't into it. And then he meets her for coffee.
Yeah.
And they have this conversation and she goes, well. And he obviously, what he thinks is that she was hot for him and wanted to get back with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was excited by that idea because, once again, he wanted to be special. And then what she says is, would you be cool if I write about this for my psychology blog? And he's noticeably, like, bummed out by it.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, sure.
And
then later, he tries to cheat on her. He's like, do you think I'd be so cool as to cheat? And then as soon as he gets an opportunity to sleep with, like, a 20-year-old girl, he takes it.
That's true. And what a weird... Can I tell you
how uncomfortable... Dude, that's the best scene of the movie.
I knew you would think that's the best scene of the movie. I felt like it was so uncomfortable watching
that. Wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah. I guess that's where the black comedy comes in, because...
Yeah.
That one
feels more like just direct comedy as opposed to like, that's not, like, is the situation funny? Yes.
Yeah.
But also, it's clearly like the funniest part of the movie. That's like intentionally meant to be just hilarious. Maybe not hilarious, but it's definitely
an uncomfortable humor.
It's a little bit more like kind of wedged in there than some of the rest of a lot of the stuff is pretty subtle, whereas that is like, oh, this is obviously a very silly situation.
Yeah. What a strange situation too. What a strange one.
So she takes, so this like 20-year-old girl is like, I've had these really like hot sex dreams,
super erotic dreams. Yeah,
but they're dark though too.
Yes.
Like, she's like, you're in the corner, and then he walks out, and she's like, who are you? Why are you in my house? And then he just, like, essentially just takes advantage of her.
Yeah.
And so she's like, let's live out my fantasy.
Yeah, because she's really into it in the dream. And he's really assertive in the dream, and I think maybe that might be part of why he went along with it, because in most of these people's dreams, he's just standing there.
Yeah.
And that's actually annoying him through the entire thing. He's like, I was just standing there not doing anything. I wouldn't do that. Like, his daughter tells him, the movie starts off with a dream where it was like people are falling from the sky, and then she starts floating up and he's just sweeping in the backyard going, it's okay, honey. He's like, you know that I wouldn't. I would absolutely act on that. I try to save you type of thing. And then his wife kind of has this conversation with him where she was like, this would be a really sexy dream if you're in this like weird oversized suit.
Yeah, yeah, like, from the Talking Heads like music video.
Yeah. And you come and save me from a fire or something like that. And again, he hates this idea of him just standing there in dreams. And when his friend wants to write about the dream, he's like, as long as you portray me in a better light than me just standing there and not doing anything.
Yeah.
So that is a common factor through the entire movie.
Yeah, he really
movie.
Wants to control the narrative as far as like how he's perceived by people. And I think that's a feeling that like many of us can like relate to.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what most of us spend our high school years doing.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's a very childish kind of need and urge. Like, that's why you start dressing a certain way and you get into like scenes and things like that, whether it be football or music or what, you know, whatever it is. Like, that's kind of like the heyday for lifestyle music and lifestyle movies, like stuff where you just kind of start dressing and acting a certain way because you want people to perceive you in whatever, how you see yourself, essentially.
Right.
Or want to see yourself anyway.
Do you think, because I was thinking this while the movie was happening, it's right after this weird scenario where he's with this 20-something and absolutely fails miserably at the whole fantasy thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because first he farts and it's like he's super embarrassing. It's totally natural. She's like, dude, it's cool.
Yeah, he makes it worse by just not shutting up about it.
Yeah, and she's like, no, just continue trying to act like you're going to rape me. Like, let's keep going with this.
Yeah, let's keep going with that.
And then she starts to undo his pants and he immediately comes and farts again and then just gets up and runs away.
So, but right after that is when all the dreams turn bad.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely...
So I wasn't sure. I kind of thought that maybe that was a catalyst to him doing all of these bad things.
Yeah.
In everybody's dreams. Because, and again, I don't know, maybe it was because he acted on one of these, because that dream was the only one that I'm aware of that they mention in the movie where he wasn't just standing there doing nothing.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's why he kind of liked the idea of it. And also, she was an attractive woman, right? So he's like, maybe, you know, I'm just going to see where this goes.
Yeah.
He was very conflicted, but he still went along with it. So maybe his act on that is what kind of turned everything. And now he's not just standing there, but he's doing something worse in all of the dreams.
Yeah. How I kind of conceptualized it was that at that point, because he had also had that meeting that went really poorly where they wanted him to, like, because once again, he's trying to get this book about evolutionary biology written. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, we want you to do Sprite commercials.
Right.
And so it was this really bad meeting. And then he has this really bad moment where he tries to have sex with this girl and it doesn't work out. And he ends up in the most embarrassing situation possible that mm-hmm. you can even conceive of.
Yeah.
And so I think all that negative energy kind of changed his perception towards, like, his life at that moment. And I think that changed how he was, you know, appearing in people's dreams. Because now all of a sudden he has a bunch of anger and, like, frustration in him.
Yeah.
And then that comes out in the dreams.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure where, directorially, this had some confusing moments for me. Because it was shortly after that, that they show him just killing people.
Like, I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, he just knocks on one of his students' doors and goes in and strangles her. And then it goes to him basically ambushing another one of his students and just starts beating him in the face with a hammer.
Yeah.
And at first I'm thinking, is this going to turn into a horror movie? Like, is that what's happening right now?
Yeah.
And then it turns out to be a dream. And I kind of liked the idea of not necessarily knowing what was reality and what was a dream.
Yeah, it's almost like this, like, meta take on the movie itself within the movie.
And I kind of wish that they would have explored that a little bit more.
Okay.
But they didn't, ultimately. And so that's why I kind of, at the beginning of this, I was very curious as to where it was leading through it. And I guess there were moments where I thought, oh, this is actually, like, getting very interesting. It's getting very, like, I'm getting into this because I have no idea where it's going.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's one of the things I thought also very interesting about this movie is there's, like, no delineation between when it's dream and when it's real. A lot of times, like, they're filmed in the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you typically know one's happening is because weird shit is happening. But in that specific scenario, it would have made sense. Like, that's kind of like a fork in the road for him where it's like, oh, I could see this guy going crazy and this turning into a horror movie. Like, I thought it was a good, not a twist, but like a fake that, oh, hey, here is the twist, right?
Yeah.
One of the reviews I read from this was from Jeanette Castules of New York Times wrote that Borgli had more ideas than space to execute them.
Okay.
Which I think exactly what you're saying, like, you could have explored that a little bit more.
Okay, yeah, I would agree with that. I honestly think that I would have liked this a little bit more if it did turn into a weird kind of psychological horror dark comedy.
Where he actually becomes Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
Like a Freddy Krueger analog type character. Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been very interesting to me.
I could see that.
Yeah. Because it didn't feel like a horror movie at all. Even in those scenarios.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, where's this? I don't know. I liked the idea of it. But the movie ends and he's got, like, I guess his wife leaves him.
Yeah. He has to go buy a new apartment.
Yeah. And
of course she does. Because here's the thing is, of course she does. Because here's the thing about Paul's character is, like I said, although I do think he is a bit of a sympathetic character in the beginning,
uh-huh.
I think as the film goes on, he's not a good guy. I think he's a bad guy. Like I said, he lied to his wife. Do you think I'm so cool I would cheat on you? He wants to cheat on his wife. He wants everybody to love him. He's a fucking narcissist at the end of the day. And he wants everybody to think he's the smartest guy of all time, and he gets fame and doesn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
But everything that happens, like once the dreams start going bad, and once again, like from my perception, is the reason the dream started going bad is because he didn't know how to handle, once good things started happening to him, he didn't know how to handle it. And then everything that happens after the dreams start going bad, that's all his fault. Like, dude, yeah, does it suck that people hate you and you can't go out in public? Sure. But you're still going out in public, and then he makes this crazy video where he's like, I'm also a victim. I'm the real victim. It's also, and like, I love the scene where his wife goes, and she's played by, I like this lady a lot, Julianne Nicholson.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's just embarrassing. It's like an embarrassing thing. It's embarrassing to be married to you right now, which is
what,
like,
a wild statement.
A brutal cutting remark.
Yes.
And so I think a lot of that is he just handled everything so poorly.
Yeah.
That the reason they end up split up is because
of how he handled it.
Yeah, because he just refused. He thinks he's smarter than everybody, and he refuses to listen to anyone where they're just like, lay low, be cool. And he just refuses to listen to anyone, including his wife.
I guess, I mean, sure. But at the same time, the school that his kid went to was like, you're not allowed to come see your kid.
Yeah.
Because people are uncomfortable about being there.
Once again, he's right. I think he's right to feel the way he feels.
Yeah.
But
and I think that it's garbage that the school would even ask that. Right? I think that I'd be pretty pissed. I don't know. I'm not sure how you would act in that scenario. Like, what is the right way to act in that scenario? What is the right way?
In that dream scenario?
In that dream scenario, yeah. You know, what is the right way to act like that? I mean, what's the appropriate reaction to, oh, none of my students are showing up to class because they're having bad dreams about me? You know, I can totally see his side on it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And think, well, I kind of get what he's saying. Like, they're kind of being little brats about this a little bit because they're having bad dreams. And I mean, maybe they're awful, awful, awful dreams, but they are just dreams. And then he gets essentially kicked out of the school because of it.
He gets kicked out of the school because he starts flipping out on them when they paint loser on his car.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. To me, his response
I think is totally understandable. I think there's a lot of subtext to this.
Yeah.
As far as, like, once again, that concept of, like, groupthink and everybody just... Now you have just been deemed a bad person.
Yeah.
And now you got to deal with that.
Yeah, but...
We take out everything else, and now you got to deal with that. So, like, no, I do think...
And it's for no reason.
He's oftentimes justified in his feelings and his emotions.
Yeah.
But he has nobody to blame for how he reacts to those things than himself, you know?
Sure. I mean, the online video was a bit chaotic.
Yeah.
It was a bit chaotic. But I also don't blame him for breaking down.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it makes so much sense. Like, yeah. Of course you'd be like, what the fuck? I didn't do anything.
Yeah. Like, I can't go out at all. Like,
I also find it interesting that he has a dream where he's being killed by himself.
Yeah, that is very interesting. And again, they didn't really explore that anymore. I would have liked if that would have kept happening, you know, and maybe he could have. What a cool way for them to have him confront himself.
Then in a dream,
yeah, right? Like all the mental stuff that he's got going on.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and the stuff that we've been talking about where he has this desire for more. Right? He could have done that in his dream. What a cool way to approach that. They didn't. It was a mistake. Yeah. Or maybe they just didn't have time. This movie was less than 2 hours long.
Yes, yeah.
And
it's like an hour 40, I think, probably.
Somewhere around there, yeah. And I do think it probably could have hit a 2 hour mark. I think I'd have been okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
I was intrigued enough with it. I don't think much longer than that, but...
Sure, yeah, it is very slow. I think this is a pretty boring movie.
Yeah.
Overall, this is definitely not a film for, like... You know, if you, like, big budget action flicks and stuff that's
not a popcorn
kind of keeps a really good pace. Yeah, definitely. It's a thinker.
Yeah.
It's definitely a thinker when you're watching it.
Yeah.
For exactly the reason we're talking about, where you do kind of, at least for me, I definitely kind of go back and forth between he's very sympathetic. Also, he's kind of a dick and he kind of got what's coming to him, but also he definitely didn't.
Right.
But in some ways, he definitely did. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's.
And eventually.
Which I think is an interesting. That's kind of what I found interesting about this movie, where it's like he's kind of likable, but also unlikable at the same time.
Yeah. And eventually, the movie reaches a point where it's just like, oh, yeah, all the dreams have stopped, except for a couple here and there in Europe.
Yeah.
Right? So, what is that about? And now.
I think. This is my take on what's actually going on, is he did accidentally figure out how to astral project into people's dreams. And he had a need to be seen by people and be recognized by people. And that's how the dreams really start.
Yeah.
And then things start going bad for him. And then the dreams take a dark and sinister turn.
Think because he gets in a dark headspace?
Yeah. And then once everything happens, he goes to his kid's play. He accidentally closes that lady's fingers in, which also once again, pretty funny scene where like he's just trying to like it's a genuine accident. And he actually becomes the guy in the dream attacking somebody.
And of course, she is like, he attacked me.
Paul attacked me.
Yeah.
So
drama queen.
She got her hand slammed in a door by a guy she thinks is a psychopath. And so I think at that point, he kind of wants to retreat because he's like, this is too much. I'm losing my family.
Okay.
Everyone hates me. So at that point, he stops wanting to be seen by people. And so at that point, he stops appearing in people's dreams.
Okay. I can buy that.
So for me, when I watch, that's kind of. That's how I conceptualized it, whether or not that's the actual intention and what was really going on. They never explain it. You're not going to get an answer for that.
Right.
But to me, that kind of made the most logical sense as far as like why the plot happened the way it did.
Sure. And how do you feel about the what was the name of the product that was made out? It was like Neuralink.
Neuralink, yep.
Yes. And them in the commercials of it, because you see these mock commercials. Where
I didn't love that they were wearing JNCO jeans for some reason. That felt strange. But
where you wear this bracelet and now you can enter other people's dreams. And they go, even though he did this accidentally and became such a, like, everybody hated him.
Yeah.
We can't deny that without him, this product wouldn't exist. And so he gets what he wanted, right? Like, he gets everything that he wanted to be known for. He gets known for that.
Yeah.
But it's in a negative light.
Exactly.
And then you've got all these influencers that are like, I know that this product, like, wouldn't exist without him, but it's such a shame that he put such a tarnished stamp on this product.
Yeah.
Like, you stupid piece of crap.
I think this film shines is it's taking this crazy scenario, this dream scenario,
uh-huh.
right? This odd fantastical idea. And it actually does feel very grounded in, like, all of this feels like if this situation happened.
Socially
that
and
this
culturally.
Is exactly how like culture would react and how it would. So I felt like it did a really good job of that, of really like kind of taking a honest like look at groupthink and how that would work in this situation.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. Yeah, but I still hold true that if anybody enters my dream and tries to sell me shoes, which later in the movie it did happen to that guy,
and there's some pretty dumb shoes.
They were those stupid shoes. I think Skecher made those type of shoes where the bottom of the shoe is like an upside down arc so that you kind of rock back and forth on it.
Yes.
Dumb shoes.
Yeah, I thought it was a funny idea. And once again, so perfect as to if that something like that did get invented, that's exactly how it would be used to market more shit that we don't need to us.
Although I did actually like the ending.
It's pretty, I think it's very sweet.
he figures out how to enter dreams, as yeah. questionable as that is, just like invading somebody's headspace. He enters his wife's dream wearing the stupid talking head suit and playing out that scenario. And it's a beautiful dream. And yeah. he ends it with saying, "I wish this was real." And then it cuts.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many. Once again, that's another like really layered scene where, and leading up to it as well, where he was accidentally entering people's dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And then he stopped being able to do it, or at least he couldn't control it. So then once they create this technology, he's like, because you had said earlier, he never wanted to be in people's dreams.
Right.
He thought it was strange. The whole thing was kind of odd to him. He didn't want to be in people's dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the results of it were terrible for him.
Yeah.
So now he's in a situation where all he wants is to be able to get into his wife's dream.
Yeah, and like, she had never dreamed about it.
All he wants is to be able to do it. Yeah, she had never been one of them. And so he spends all this time figuring out, watching these YouTube how-to videos to use the Neuralink to get into his wife's dream.
Yeah, he even...
And then he finally does it.
Yeah, and he even asks her, they allude to the fact that he wants this, because when he drops off the kids after they look at the house, he's like, "So have you been dreaming about me?" And she goes, "Why do you keep asking me that?"
Yeah.
And he says, I'm just curious.
Yeah. And also, it's like, it's this like really bittersweet moment where he finally, not to say he didn't realize what he had lost before, but I feel like his character prior to that didn't necessarily appreciate everything he had until he lost it all.
I guess.
Whereas
yeah.
he always wanted, once again, his character, he wanted more. He wanted to be recognized. He had these like big dreams of, "I'm going to write this book and I'm going to do all that." And all that shit is fucking meaningless when compared to having a life with a loving wife and your children and having a happy family. You know what I mean? Like, that's the greatest prize. That's greater than, I think maybe that's like the overarching like theme.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not, but to me, that's kind of what I felt like, is this is a little bit of a commentary on the fact that everybody aspires to be, not everybody, but so many people aspire to be like, "I want to be known and I want to be an influencer. Or I want to be famous for whatever this," and all of that shit pales in comparison to a loving family. You know what I mean? Like, that's the ultimate prize above everything else, where he got to be famous.
Yeah.
That sucked really bad and it cost him his family. And now, fuck being famous. He just wants his wife back. He just wants his family back.
That
didn't even really want to fucking talk to him at the dinner table.
Yeah.
You know, his family didn't even like him. But guess what? That was still better than
than
being alone and hated by the world.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't really think that his wife was painted in a very positive light, at least when I was watching it.
Yeah.
I never was like, "Man, you know, he's lucky to have her."
Oh, I kind of felt like, dude, I feel bad for her because
her?
Yeah.
Or, I kind of felt bad for him.
I felt bad for her because I'm like, can you imagine being married to this fucking guy?
Well, that's true. Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think that I'd want that either.
Can't be easy.
But like, yeah, I just with her, I was like, oh, she seems a little bit, I don't know. She seems very jealous. But I didn't care for that.
Sure.
And yeah. I do think that she tried to use his fame a little bit. So that she could get higher up in her job. Too. There were some scenes there that, like, she used that connection of him and his fame to, like, jump on a job, a project at her work.
And that's part of the reason she was upset about the turn that he took, not handling well, because she was negatively affected by it. Whereas when we watched it, Kendra did say this when we watched it yesterday. She was like, "I would stand by you." And I'm like, really? I thought he was kind of a dick. I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, depending on how you approached it.
Yeah, and how you handled it. Yeah. I was like, I think they're both a little bit at fault there.
Yeah.
She could have been a little more supportive. He could have been a little less. He could have handled it a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think you would have handled it? Like, what do you think?
If people started
dreaming about you?
Dreaming about me murdering them?
No. Just, well, even just. the beginning phases I would
have taken the Sprite deal.
100%
I'd have taken the Sprite deal and been, fuck Obama. I don't want to talk to Obama.
No, I wouldn't want to do that either.
No. Like, no, I'm going to take the Sprite money. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That, I mean, I'm right there with you.
I'm taking the Sprite money. Like, I'm getting my 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
And then I'm ducking the fuck out.
Wait, yeah. So another question was, what is the duration of time that this movie has? Because there's nothing that really gives me an indicator of, is this a couple weeks? I think is it a couple months?
I think the first, two-thirds, like before, well, actually, I guess probably like three-quarters before, you know, he slams the girl's hand. I think the majority of it takes place within a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because it's cold the entire
time. That's true. He's wearing his
coat.
So
I think it feels like it's kind of like fall through winter.
Yeah.
And then you get a bit of a time jump where now they're separated, obviously. People have stopped dreaming about him long enough for this new technology to come about. So my guess would be that time jump is probably like a year or two.
Probably.
Maybe, because his kids are still the same age. They obviously use the same actors. They couldn't like age them up crazy or anything.
Right.
So my guess is the first portion of the movie happens within a couple weeks or months, and then the last bit happens like a year or two later. That would be my guess, but I don't know.
That's a good guess, I think. I think that's a good guess.
Actually, I got Wikipedia pulled up. I'm going to see. Nope, it just says sometime later.
sometime later,
the dreams have stopped. Long enough for this technology to be invented and marketed, though.
Probably a year. At least, I guess, for that jump. But I'll bet the rest of this, you're right, was happening within a season.
Yeah, like I said, the whole film, and that felt very intentional, as the whole film kind of takes place during winter, fall or winter. Like, it's all very cold. It kind of feels, yeah. You know, and the film feels that way. It has this, like, it has this very kind of, like, cold feeling to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. All right, man. Well, we're at that time. We got to start rating these.
All right. Let's see. On a scale of the Swedish Chef.
On a scale of
there's nothing that jumps out to me for this. On a scale of,
I can think of a couple,
for me,
I hate.
The most memorable part of this film was him farting while premature ejaculating. So on a scale of 1 to 25 farts while premature ejaculating.
Why is that the scale that you chose?
I don't have anything that like jumps out to me.
Okay. Is this a golf score? Or is it we want more of this premature and farts?
Well, he still came, so it still seems like a pretty good night to me.
I guess you're right.
So 25 is good.
Yeah, if
I've never farted and came at the same time, but it seems that seems like it'd be one of the better things you could experience. Coming out both ends? Come on.
Generally coming out both ends.
I think my wife would be mad. Afterwards, it would be like, you know, it would be a disapproving look for sure.
Okay. So on that note, I'm going to say 18 out of 25.
Okay.
I was going to say 20, but I felt like that sounded a little bit too high.
Yeah.
So a little bit under that. 18 out of 25. I think is where I'm going to go with it. After we talked about this, I think I appreciated the movie more.
Okay.
Yeah. Watching it, I wasn't too sure.
Once yet, that makes sense.
Yeah. I think I just had to chew on it and digest it mentally a little bit.
Yeah.
This was a very unique film. I haven't seen anything similar to this. Maybe Stranger Than Fiction is like the closest thing that I've seen to it.
That's kind of what I thought. And that's why, once again, not my favorite movie.
Right.
I don't love this movie. I don't know if I'll be watching it again. I've seen it twice now. I feel like that's enough.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really well done movie. I like, it has this really cool feel to it. And I looked into the production. It was actually shot on 16 millimeter film.
Okay.
Before being like digitally like enhanced. Hmm. So I think it has a cool look to it. It's obviously very dialogue driven and it's really slow. It is very boring. So you have to kind of be into the, like a cerebral, thought provoking film.
Yeah.
But
it's almost a weird fantasy character study.
Exactly. Yeah. It's definitely, I mean, it's an A24 film for sure.
For sure.
Like, I don't know if anybody else would want to make this movie.
Probably not. Yeah. I don't, out of the A24 movies that I've seen so far, I think this one probably is lower
and,
than most that we've seen.
Yeah, for sure. And I think some of it too is, I mean, it was written and directed by a Norwegian filmmaker.
Yeah, those Norwegians.
So, and it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a little bit of, it makes sense. It's kind of a little bit different from a traditional way, like an American would think about a story, like writing a story, filming a, and making a film. So, which I appreciate. I think it was pretty cool. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I think your score is probably right around the same spot I would be at.
Yeah.
Like that, where I didn't love it, but I definitely think it's cool. I think it's a great film. I think all the acting is solid. I think
I would agree.
The cinematography is good. I don't think there's a ton to write home about because of the nature of how like intimate of a story it's telling.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that I liked it and that's where I'm going to leave it.
I think
that I liked it.
Me too.
So, all right, folks. Well, there you have it.
18 out of 25 farts while premature ejaculating. So that means he went 25 times. I'm not doing 18 of those.
You know, I think the audience is going to be real disappointed about that, Thor. So what do you guys think? Especially the people out there. I try to find local areas. Right now, I want to talk to your dreams. Those of you who are dreaming and listening to this right now, I want to hear from you. What did you think of Dream Scenario starring Nicolas Cage? You can watch this on Max. At least that's where I watched it. I don't think that it's streaming anywhere else. So it's on Max. You can probably rent it off of Amazon Prime or something like that.
Yeah, it's a couple bucks.
Yeah. So, yeah. With that being the case, Thor, are you ready for the next recommendation?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. So,
it's literally all I've been waiting for.
A couple of weeks ago that Shadow of the Erdtree has been released. And Thor just let me know that he has beaten the final boss. So now we're going to talk about it next week.
Open season. So folks, get your Elden Ring hats on.
Yeah, it's going to be a nerdy episode.
Anytime
folks.
We've talked about Elden Ring, it goes a little bit too long. And we've said many times, like, we should just do a whole episode. But
of
I
Elden
mean, the game
Ring.
Is a couple years over or has been out for a couple years at this point.
Yeah.
So Shadow of the Erdtree is the perfect chance. We can do a 4-hour episode about Shadow of the Erdtree DLC.
That's right. If you've ever wondered about the lore, the history of all of these characters, we're going to talk. Well, we're not going to get that deep into it, but we're going to talk about Shadow of the Erdtree next week. It's the DLC that came out. It's a little bit controversial, weirdly.
Oh, I'm not aware of this. So.
Yeah, it's a little bit controversial. And it's also like gotten so many acclamations that it's been touted as this should be game of the year. A downloadable content should be game of the year. So next week we're going to discuss it.
Spoiler alert. I don't disagree.
Okay. I was going to say spoiler alert. We both beat it.
Spoiler alert. I hated it. So, I loved Elden Ring, but I hated the DLC.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about it. I'm sorry for everybody who's not a DLC Elden Ring nerd, but this has had a lot of people listen or a lot of people download it. I feel like there's an audience for it out there somewhere. Yeah. And also,
we do video games sometimes. So this time we're talking video games and probably like one of our favorite video games for me of all time. Certainly.
Yeah, I'm up there too.
The last couple years,
you know,
without a doubt. So
anyway, we're talking about Elden Ring next week, crew. Shadow of the Erdtree. You should go download it. If you haven't played the actual game, go beat the actual game, then buy the DLC, and then beat the DLC so that next week when
and
we come here...
And then 300 hours later, come listen to us talk about it.
Don't do anything else except play Shadow of the Erdtree. Quit your job if you have a job. Divorce your spouse.
Just take a week off. You might be able to get through everything if you take a week off and dedicate all your time to playing it.
You're offering better suggestions than I am right now.
So. Use that vacation. What are you going to use it for? To spend time with your stupid family? No, go play Elden Ring, dumbass.
Yeah, if there's anything that we've decided after this whole episode, it's that your family sucks.
Certainly not as cool as Elden Ring.
So, with that being said, until next time, folks.
As always,
you get wrecked out there.
Stay wrecked.
I saw you waving your hands, mouthing until.
We'll see you in your dreams, everybody.
See you in your dreams.